Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show. My name is Beverly D. And tonight I have another exciting and informative guest for you. His name is Henry D. Bernardo. And he is an astrologer. He's a researcher. He's a publisher of a newspaper called The Black Star in Philadelphia. And so tonight we're going to talk about health care. We're going to talk about the presidency. We're going to talk about the state of the black nation, the state of the black health. We're going to talk about the plague that is in our community, like diabetes and asthma. And so we've got a lot of information that we're going to talk about tonight. And I'm going to bring Henry D. Bernardo up. Henry, are you there?
Peace, Sister Beverly. How are you this evening?
Good, good. Peace to you, and thank you. I appreciate you joining us tonight.
And thank you for bringing me on.
Okay, and so let's get started. Let's talk about, we hear all of this that's going on in the news about the health care bill and things like that. What is going on? Because we're going to look at things. We're going to go a little deeper. We're going to look at it on a spiritual level, too. So what is all this going on as far as spiritually is concerned here, too?
Right. Well, first, I want to thank, congratulate, I guess, the administration, the Obama administration, for finally getting the bill through, even though it is in pieces and tatters from what it originally was supposed to be. And quite a bit was left out of the bill. But having said that, I do think there are some major issues with it that need to be discussed that have not been discussed in the national media, which is, first of all, there's absolutely no dollars dedicated in this bill whatsoever to wholeness and wellness issues and the holistic community. And I know for a fact, I just talked to a good friend of mine down south who is a chiropractic, and he said the Chiropractic Association, one of them, actually went up against the Bill Clinton administration the last time this bill came up under Hillary Clinton and was soundly defeated, and they helped defeat it because of the fact that there's absolutely no dollars dedicated to any kind of wellness issues whatsoever. Unfortunately, the bill services mainly the insurance companies of America, and what's ironic about that is that the insurance companies put up the dollars to fight the bill and to smear Obama and put up this massive struggle in the Congress. But then the insurance companies are going to be the main beneficiaries because 70% of all the monies that are coming through this bill, which is almost $1 trillion, are going directly to the insurance companies.
So, they were benefiting already, so they're not losing anything. They're gaining
a whole lot. They're going to be happy for a very long time. And then 10% of the remainder is going directly to the pharmaceuticals. So the Rite Aids, the CVSs, the Walgreens, those people are going to be happy from now till forever because they got a guaranteed, this is almost like a guaranteed welfare check for them into the indefinite future.
Mm. And I call them the dope dealers in the neighborhood because in our neighborhood, we have them on just about every corner. So they are the drug dealers, the legal drug dealers.
That's right. And you don't see those pharmacies like that in the other people's communities. Only in our communities do they throw these things up overnight, like you said, on every other corner.
Mm-hmm.
And they're peddling, I call them pill factories because you go in there, you see all these prescription drugs, and a lot of them are generics now that they're pushing onto our people, and our people are getting sick and dying off these very same pills.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so the Republicans, what they're saying is true, but the people can't see the truth because of their mean-spiritedness and their nastiness. Is that what's going on, why they're fighting so hard? Why is the Republicans fighting so hard against it?
Yeah, I think the Republicans fought so hard against it and teamed up with these so-called Tea Party people to try to bring this thing down because basically what this bill does, for all intents and purposes, unless something unforeseen happens over the next 2 years, it guarantees Obama's second administration because it gives him the second wind that he needed after the TARP disaster with the banks when he gave away that $1 trillion to the banks during most of his first year. That turned out to be such a PR disaster for him that if he didn't get this health thing passed, then I think he was pretty much a lame duck. He was only going to be a one-term president. But now that he did get it through, it's a major, major victory. It's going to change the face of healthcare pretty radically across America. 95% of all Americans will be required to get health insurance under this bill, or they'll actually be penalized for not having it. They will have to have that national ID card with the little chip in it, or they won't be serviced. So there's some issues there. But the Republicans were hell-bent on beating this thing down because I think they're pretty much doomed for the second term. They're not going to get another president in there, not unless something really radical happens with this president.
Mm-hmm. So really, with them, it was really a race thing. It was because of Obama. It wasn't because of the issue.
Right.
The insurance issue.
That's right. As a matter of fact, most of the congressmen themselves personally are going to benefit. And most of the constituencies are also going to benefit. Here in Pennsylvania, for instance, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania filed a suit. He was one of the 15 states that filed the suit to stop the bill from being going into law. But it was crazy because we have a Democratic government running this state. It's a Democratic government, a Democratic governor. But yet the Attorney General, who's a Republican, decided on his own without consent of the governor, go ahead in the court and join these other 15 states. But they're going to lose that lawsuit. I think that even if it does go up to the Supreme Court is not going to overturn this legislation because it is so big, it's so major, it's so fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only piece that they may look at seriously in terms of overturning is the portion of it that deals with the forced signing of the health pact. If you don't have insurance, you'll be required to get it. I think they're going to throw that portion out, but the rest of it, the lion's share of it, they're going to keep in place.
Well, here in Michigan, our attorney general did the same thing. He filed the lawsuit, and we have a so-called Democratic governor too, Jennifer Granholm. So the Michigan attorney was part of that lawsuit too.
Right. Okay. So it's like a game, but it's basically politics as usual in this country. You know, they should have national health care insurance in this country decades ago. I mean, Canada had it a long time ago. England had it a long time ago. Most of the Scandinavian states have it, and Germany has it. You know, some of the Asian countries have it. I think Russia and China both have it. So what's the problem here with us? It's supposed to be the richest country in the world, so it should have never been a problem in the first place. But see, it's basically a rich get richer kind of thing, and the rich did not want to give up anything to us folks, the working class and the poor folks. But I think Obama rammed it down their throats and made them come. Like he said before, this is legislation that was pending 20 years ago. It just never got to a vote. And now it did get to a vote. He pushed it through. So we'll have to take it a step at a time from there. But leading off of that discussion, I would like to talk for a minute about, you know, a natural health care and holistic health. And I think, fortunately, in America, that is a booming industry and is growing very, very fast. In Europe, holistic health is the leading health industry. Allopathic health is secondary to that. See, in this country, everything is either surgery or pills.
Right.
You go to the pharmacy or you get your leg cut off. In the case of diabetics, and those who are listening to your show tonight who are diabetic know that, you know, it can be a very, very dangerous disease. I'm a diabetic myself, but I don't take any pills, and I'm not on insulin. And, and my own family doctor, we fight all the time because he swears I had to get on insulin at some point. I keep telling him, no, I'm not getting on insulin or pills. I'm not doing none of that chemical stuff, artificial stuff, because I'm not trying to get sicker. I'm trying to get well, and I know that diabetes comes from basically bad health or a bad diet over the many years, and we suffer consequences in that in the form of diabetes, and correction of the diet and getting on to holistic therapies can actually reverse diabetic traits and can actually make you well, you know. So I've been walking around with this disease now for at least 10 years, and I'm no, on any pills whatsoever, and I'm not taking no insulin because I know that that's a quicker way to death.
Right.
So people might say, well, how do you do that? How do you have diabetes and you don't take insulin? Well, the reason is because if you watch your health, first of all, if you get off all that crazy food, 90% of the food in our supermarkets is designed to kill you. If it's boxed, if it's jarred, if it's bottled, then probably it's 90% poison, because if there's stuff on the label that you can't pronounce and can't read because you got 15 syllables in it, you need to put it back on the shelf. That's what I generally tell people. You should stop eating this garbage, especially out of the fast food restaurants. You know, they talk about the 40s being liquid crack, but also look at this stuff that's coming out of the fast food joints that our children are consuming. Every day, they don't even eat breakfast or lunch or dinner at the table anymore. They don't even know what that is at home. So they go into the fast food joint, they buy this garbage, and then they get sick with asthma or diabetes.
Right.
And they just did a survey in China and just found out that 130 million Chinese have been diagnosed with diabetes. 110% of the whole entire country of China is diabetic now. And is it any coincidence that this has happened since the time of the emergence of fast food joints in the China?
Right, right. And that's another thing that we have in the black community. On one corner, we have the illegal drug dealers with the drug stores. And then on the other corner, we have the McDonald's and the fast food restaurants. And so they both are killing us.
It's killing us, and it's destroying our children, and now they're on a big kick now. Michelle Obama, for instance, just left Philadelphia, and she's on this big kick to get a grip on the obesity issue around the country. So they're building all kinds of supermarkets in Philadelphia designed to get people on the more natural foods, but then you see those bottled and jarred and boxed items all over the store. 90% of the store is taken up by that garbage. With those labels on it that you can't pronounce. So we're still consuming the death that's putting our people down. And it's not just diabetes and asthma that's killing our people, especially our young people now. It's almost every kind of disease you can name or think of, our people being taken out with this stuff. All kinds of STDs are out here killing our people, especially the young people who don't keep themselves clean. Simple, ordinary hygienic methods would do a lot to clean up a lot of these diseases, you know, and it doesn't cost a lot. You know, I have friends of mine in the holistic communities here in Philly who are mad at me now because I tell them that even, you know, remedies are so easy and simple to cure a lot of these so-called deadly diseases that it doesn't even require these so-called supplements. Like a lot of people running into these, like GNC, for instance, and they buy tons of these supplements. We don't even need that stuff because your body is your best friend. Mm-hmm. And your body will cure itself if you just give it the opportunity to do so. Our bodies are some of the most sophisticated instruments that could ever been thought of by the Creator. And we need to understand that because we are the melanated people, we have the power right within our own bodies to do some almost miraculous curative things. But we have to be disciplined and humble enough to be able to get away from all that garbage, number one, clean up our diets, and then secondly, get on to therapies that will assist our bodies in cleaning itself up. We can rely on our body to do 60% of the work, so we don't even need the supplements. You know, so my friends get mad at me in the holistic community, and they say, man, don't say that stuff, because how are we going to make our bucks? You know, and I'm like telling them, well, now you're getting on to the allopathic philosophy where you have to victimize people in order to make money and so-called help them too. You're not helping anybody by robbing them and then leaving them with the disease because you're putting them on supplements that may or may not work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I tell them what they need to do. They need to be dealing with fresh fruits, for instance. They need to be dealing with green leafy vegetables. Diabetics need to get on green leafy vegetables because that provides the chlorophyll that pushes the oxygen into their bloodstream that cleans up their blood and stops the diabetes from spreading around in their bodies. That way they don't have to get their feet and their fingers cut off. You know, a doctor in a hospital, you know, with a diabetic, is at some point in time going to recommend that you get your toes cut off, that you get your feet cut off, that you get your legs cut off. So we see all over the communities now, you see people in wheelchairs everywhere because of so many diabetics. You know, and it's a tragedy that's coming into our community. It's so unnecessary.
It is. And we need to get back to what our grandparents used to do. A lot of the healing things, how they healed us, came out of the kitchen. Came out of the garden.
Yes.
We need
yes.
to get back into doing gardens again. I understand that they're messing with the seeds, but you still can get organic seeds.
That's right. You know, they used to call them root doctors down south.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a little bit before the time when I was a little boy, you know, most black people did not even go to hospitals. You know, you rarely saw black people in hospitals because that was the white folks' thing.
Right.
And what we did is we went to the root doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave us a homeopathic remedy. You know, they gave us some tonics, you know, that we had. For instance, Coca-Cola used to be a tonic back in the old days. You know, they turned it into a beverage later on, you know, because they wanted to make more money off of it. And the white folks was, like, hooked on the caffeine in it. So they blew it out. And now they dumped all the garbage into it to make our kids sick. But there used to be a time when we never went to the hospital. You know, my father, God bless him, you know, he passed in 79. He hated hospitals so much, you know, because he was a country boy from Athens, Georgia. And he said, don't ever send me to the hospital if I get sick. He said, you know, go to the so-and-so person and get me a tonic, you know, because that's the only way I'm going to deal with this thing. You know, and to the day that he died, you know, he died at a ripe old age of 76. He refused to go to hospitals, you know, because that's the way he was brought up, you know, down south. And we're going to wind up going back to that because there is going to come a day when we're not going to be able to get into these hospitals, despite the health bill and all that other nonsense they're pushing around, trying to make it look like they're providing cures for us. There's going to come a day when we're not going to be able to go into these hospitals. And we're going to have to rely on ourselves to come up with the remedies to cure ourselves of these diseases that they put on us.
Because here in Michigan, in Detroit, our hospital, which is called the DMC, was a nonprofit organization. Now they have let a private company come in and take over the hospitals that's here in Detroit. So you know what that's going to be when you have these private entities coming in.
That's right. And they've done this on, also with the schools, where they've come in all over the South and all over the country, taking over the black school systems and merged them into the white school systems. Same thing like you said with the hospitals and the clinics, they come in and taking them over. And the ones that they couldn't actually take over or refuse to be taken over, they got rid of them. They shut them down.
Exactly. Yeah. So we see that this is a system that's in place because it's just not here, just not in Philadelphia. This is something that's going on all over. In the urban community.
That's right, and it's death on top of death, you know, designed to take us out of here. And, you know, unfortunately, Sister Beverly, our people are dying at astronomical rates. You know, I just watch, the kind of death that's going on in Philadelphia. I mean, we could set aside the whole discussion of guns that are killing a lot of our young people. Most of our folks that are over the age of 21 are dying of just the craziest things that could be resolved so easily. You have people dying in large numbers of asthma. We have large numbers of people dying from diabetes. We have large numbers of people that are dying of different types of cancers, you know, and heart diseases, you know. Strokes is a very common thing now among young people. Kidney disease is rampant among young people now.
Yeah,
my mother
too.
Was on the kidney machine for 14 years, and she said the thing that made her most depressed by going into the hospital was seeing that she was totally surrounded by young people. And
mm-hmm.
these young people were dying like flies in the hospital because they couldn't take the pressure being on the kidney machine three times
mm-hmm.
a week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an extreme tragedy that's hitting us. But these diseases that are hitting us can be resolved in the simplest, almost shockingly simple ways. It's just that we had to get serious about going the holistic route instead of that same old allopathic death route.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's all about the bottom line, and the bottom line is the dollar. And so they don't want the, you know, they don't want the holistic community because that will take away from them.
That's right. That's right. That's
so they're
right.
not going to support that.
Yeah, and even the doctors, like my own cousin, God bless him, I love him a lot because he's a good man. But he's an MD, so he's trained to respond,
yeah.
you know, to a certain kind of way. And he will not answer any questions about holistic health. You bring that holistic stuff up, he gets up and walks out the room.
Well, and I have a loved one that I take to the doctor. And when I talk to the doctor about giving him some holistic remedies, I mean, he just shoot him down. No, don't do that. No, you know,
right.
it, you know, so... You can't talk to them about that. Those are two different animals.
Right. I tried to get my dear mother to get off the kidney machine and get onto supplements and herbals to clean up her kidneys. And I told her, I said, look, I said, you don't have to get a kidney replacement, get on steroids for the rest of your life. That's going to mess you up. You can get off of that machine and get onto some holistic patterns, and you can get up and walk out of that bed, and you don't have to ever go back to the hospital again. Well, she said, well, you know, her common response always was, well, let me ask the doctor first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So you
now
know what
you
that
are,
response was.
Right, right. Now, you are an astrologer.
Yes.
Have you looked into the politics as far as astrology is concerned and the presidency? Have you looked into it?
Yeah, it really gives me a major, major, major headache because I really believe, as we said on the last show that we did, and I want to thank you for that,
mm-hmm.
I really don't see this presidency right here going anywhere because I do believe that Obama is way, 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 God bless him for what he's trying to do, you know, and I commend him for his health victory because we needed that to beat back this right wing. But
mm-hmm.
I think that it's more going on here than what's on the surface, and there are certain elements, not only national but international too. We had to watch this Mossad organization in Israel, extremely dangerous, and Obama's going up against these people now in Israel, and he's stepping into some real, real, real deep, deep water, and they may not be able to protect him because of these super, super right-wing forces that are coming at him now. And they're just opening up the Pandora's box. And I do believe that around this time next year, we may be looking at a completely, radically different political scene in Washington, D.C., where that town may be in a complete uproar. Because I just don't see him on the set anymore because I think he's moving at a pace. And it might be part of his destiny where he actually believes that he only has a certain amount of time to get his programs in to create a legacy. I think right now he's actually looking at his legacy even more than he's looking at his historical piece because he's looking at something his daughters can talk about because I think that he's seeing some of the same things that we're seeing, that these people are rounding the wagons against him. They're trying to put him into a vice grip where they're trying to get rid of him, take him out of here
mm-hmm.
in any way, shape, or form. So a lot of this talk that we're hearing of these so-called Republican, I call them Nazis and Klansmen,
mm-hmm.
talking about kill the president and assassinate the president and get rid of this guy and go kill Pelosi and kill this one, Harry Reid,
mm-hmm.
let's go to his house and bomb his house. I mean, all this foolishness is going on right now. I think we're just in the tip of this. We're going to see a whole lot more of this coming down the pike, especially going all through this year, right into the November elections, it's going to get real foul and real dirty. They're going to pull off the gloves, pull off the sheets, so to speak, and they're going to go after this guy tooth and nail, and they're going to get international help. That's where I see the real danger coming in. I don't think these local people, these national people, domestic people are going to have the temerity or the wherewithal to be able to put him down. But I do believe that some of these foreign agents are extremely dangerous, and those are the ones to watch because you have to remember that Monica Lewinsky was a Mossad agent, and she's the one that was inserted into the White House to take out Bill Clinton. You remember there was an indictment against Bill Clinton, and you remember it went to the floor of the Congress, and they failed by one vote to impeach him. Okay, that was a Mossad operation, and here we go again. I do believe Mossad is going to be an operation against this president. Netanyahu, the prime minister, came in here, and he sat in that Oval Office for 2 hours last week with Obama and Hillary Clinton, and he absolutely refused to budge. Total disrespect to the United States, which is their main sponsor. Total disrespect. Just dished Obama straight up and walked out of that thing, out of that room with a chip on his shoulder, and actually had the nerve enough to go home and say, well, he's going to be a one-termer anyway. What did that mean? You see, so we have these threats coming at him like bullets. And I do believe that, see, you can press your luck. And sooner or later, you know, cats do have nine lives, and once they reach that ninth one, then that's the ball game. And this guy is rapidly reaching his eighth life, and this time next year, I think we could see some real pandemonium in this country. Because if they, God forbid, should ever take this man out of here by hook or crook or whatever means, then I think you're just going to see the whole entire country just explode. It'll be 100 times worse than what happened after Martin Luther King.
And Kennedy.
Yes.
Kennedy out. Now, do you think that this president, when he went into this office, when he took this job, evidently it must be something going on behind the scenes, like you say. So it could be like a battle, a war. So even though it is this foreign entity there, is there a possibility that there could be another foreign entity that is there?
Like what?
Well, you said that the foreign entity that he needs to watch, but it could be something else. It could be a battle between, I mean, it could be another foreign entity just as powerful as the one you just mentioned.
Well, I do know that.
And it could be some kind of battle going on here.
It is a spiritual battle going on for this planet. I know that for a fact, and several national people have spoken on that before, And I do know that another major mistake that I think Obama made, and it's probably due to his youth and his inexperience in national government, is, you know, they pressed him, or they recruited him, or they drafted him into this organization, several different organizations. The uppermost one is called the Bilderbergers, and this group is based in Switzerland, and it involves most of the national leaders from around the planet. And you have to, once you join this organization, you have to do their bidding or else you suffer the consequences. And I think that when he went into the presidency, they drafted him into this thing. And it's a very, very bizarre kind of an organization. When you cut it away, cut it to the root of it, it's basically a satanic organization. And there's several national organizations that parallel this organization. The one that comes to mind most is the Bohemian Grove that Alex Jones talks about so frequently out there in California, that most of the national leaders also drafted into, where they actually do blood sacrifices during this thing when they meet every year. So I think that Michelle and Obama got drafted into some of these things. She is, in fact, the president of the CFR in Chicago. Is a member of the Trilateral Commission, also another one of these groups. And when you swear oaths to these types of organizations, you're literally putting your life on the line, because these people have no honor towards life. They have no dedication to civilization. In fact, I think their agenda, their satanic, demonic agenda, is to disrupt civilization and to create as much pandemonium as they can around the planet. Their rule is order through chaos. That's the rule, the motto of the Skull and Bones organization over there at Yale University. And I think a lot of these satanic organizations, whether you're talking about John Birch Society, or whether you're talking about the Klan, or whether you're talking about the Nazis, or the Bilderbergers, any of these groups are sworn towards mayhem and disorder and destruction. And if he did get drafted into these organizations, some of these groups, like the Bilderbergers or the Bohemian Grove, then he's in very, very serious trouble, because he cannot violate their rules, because Kennedy violated their rules.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama has talked about Kennedy quite a bit, and he's also talked mm-hmm. about Abraham Lincoln quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And we see what happened there.
Well, maybe that, maybe this is all a plan. I don't think, and I could be wrong, that he went, the President Obama went into office naive. I mean, like you say, he might be looking at his legacy. He might be looking at as, okay, I'm a warrior. I'm the one that can fight this fight. I can pull things through. And it's a possibility that I could lose my life or whatever. But I believe he knew that going in. I can't see him taking this job and not know the consequences. All he had to do is look at history.
Well, I think he might have got caught up in hype, again, alluding to his youthfulness and his naivete when it comes to national and international politics. I think that he actually believed, he bought into the hype at some point in time and actually began to believe that he actually could make a change, that he could make a difference on the national level, and he could go into Washington and bring a lot of young, bright people in there and change Washington. Well, who ever heard of that? You know, changing Washington is like mixing oil with water. Nobody's ever changed Washington, because the whole set of a Washington is Masonic, number one, and
mm-hmm.
demonic, number two. So
mm-hmm.
you're not going to change anything in Washington. If anything, Washington's going to run you out of there like they've done any other president to try to do something in there.
But maybe you can change it, and how you change it is you take that away and replace it with something else.
That's a possibility. But, you know, I think even more bizarrely, Sister Bev, is that
mm-hmm.
he may have actually, like you said, known what he was getting into, but he may have tried to up the ante and take the game plan to another level
mm-hmm.
and maybe tried to make these so-called operators, these puppeteers, play to a different tune, and
mm-hmm.
then maybe he was trying to guarantee himself some kind of security through that means. But again, I think that the problem with this particular individual is that I think he blindsided this. First of all, he surrounded himself with the wrong people, because I would have never had no Hillary Clinton in there with no Bill Gates, you know, and a Joe Biden. I mean, like, that's the kiss of death right there, because all
mm-hmm.
three of those individuals are extremely ambitious. They're extremely right-wing. And they're extremely racist. So, I mean, what happened to Colin Powell? Okay, so he had his weaknesses, but at least he knew the government. And at least
mm-hmm.
Colin Powell is dedicated to his own people. You know, that's a known fact that he said on any number of occasions that he would never trample the rights of black people. He would go to the death to defend the rights of black people. Well, you never heard that coming out of Obama's mouth. He always talks about this multicultural thing. So, therefore, he put these sharks and these snakes and these reptiles all around him, and all these
mm-hmm.
people like Brutus, they got their knives out, and here's Julius Caesar stuck in the middle of them. So is he actually trying to play like a minuet? Is he trying to play some kind of a game, a head game, where he's actually trying to outsmart the puppeteer? He's the puppet, and he's trying to actually pull the strings of the puppeteer. He's trying to reverse the role. And if he is playing that game, then he is certainly doomed as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Because
you
can't
beat these people.
I can't see him being that naive.
Okay.
If we sit there and see what kind of people these people are, I know he have done his homework. So
right.
I just believe it's a game plan he has.
Okay.
And if he have to lose, I mean, I could be wrong. This is just my opinion
right.
on how I'm looking at it. But
right.
I just feel like he has a game plan. I feel, and they all is into magic. They all is into
yes.
the secret occult. I believe
yes.
that he has his group. There's this other group here, and it's
right.
a battle that's going on. And his group is saying, we are coming in. We taking over the
right.
group that's there. So I believe that it's a battle that is going on there. And I really do believe that the change he's talking about is that he's coming in and he's going to take over those demonic spirits or whatever those are that's up there now and put in his spirits and his people that's there. You know, I could be way out in left field, but, you know, I just don't believe he's that naive.
Well, one of the things I do understand about astrology or astronomy, whatever you want to get into, is that, you know, there's nothing sealed in concrete, and there are no absolutes in this game. There's only possibilities and probabilities. So, you know, we may make a certain amount of predictions, but any one of them can be changed at any given time. It depends on the circumstances. So we may say, for instance, that maybe next year he'll get knocked off, or they'll be able to take him out of here, bite his head off. But we don't know that for certain because everything is in play. All factors are in play. And as long as the game is at play, then, you know, any number of things could happen that we don't even see at this date and time. And maybe this time next year something else will pop up into the scene that will allow him to dodge that bullet. I mean, look at Ronald Reagan. He's a classic case of somebody who died. Ronald Reagan was supposed to die.
Exactly.
But he dodged that bullet because he had an astrologer from California in the White House regularly with him. And she told him, on that day, do not do this. And he obeyed that woman, and that bullet missed his heart.
Yes, yes. And, you know, back in the olden days with the kings, all of them had their high priests and astrologers right there with them. That's how they used to do.
Yes, and then, too, we don't know what kind of secret organizations the Obamas might be involved with that's helping them out.
That's what it is. That's what I feel that's going on. He is definitely involved. He's just not hanging out there by himself. He is definitely entrenched in some kind of secret organization.
Now, one thing I do want to mention in conjunction with that Obama piece is that I definitely, as I said before, and I'm not going to budge on this piece here, I definitely do see enormous amount of commotion coming to this country because these right wingers are really getting entrenched now, and you see it through the Tea Party movement, which is extremely dangerous. These are very, very dangerous people here. They put Sarah Palin up as their poster girl, and she goes around the country with this silly little smile on her face and a high pitched voice, trying to fool people. But these people are extremely dangerous, and if they ever got the opportunity, they would kill all of us. Don't be fooled about that. Yes, they definitely want it.
But I don't think they are that. I mean, they are dangerous. I grant you that. But if they dangerous, but they don't have the power. Because if they had the power, we would have all been gone.
Well, we're talking about today, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And this time next year, I think we're going to be looking at a totally different ballgame. Especially, everything depends on what happens in November with the election. Now, if they can somehow mount an offensive strong enough to take over the Republican Party, which their main target right now is not to attack Obama. Their main target right now is internal consolidation in the form of taking over the Republican Party and moving it dramatically to the right, almost to the fascist stage. Then they're going to go after Obama after the elections. If these people ever get their second win, there's definitely going to be war in this country because these people are hell-bent on destroying this country. There's some real, real, real serious problems with these people. They are a very serious potential threat right now. But I look at this. I was telling a friend of mine down south this morning on the phone. I look at these people the same way that some Germans looked at the Nazis back in 1932. You know, that I think it's an exact parallel. You know, when the Nazis would run around, they didn't even call themselves the Nazis at first. They called themselves the National Socialist Party. And they went around in these little silly black suits, and they kept talking the stuff out of their mouth, we're going to make everything right. We're going to get rid of the homos. We're going to get rid of the unionists. We're going to get rid of the debt that we got on the Germany. And we're going to make everything right for us, for our people. And everybody bought into that nonsense to the point that Hitler winded up winning the election in 1933, and the rest is history, as they say. And that's where these people are going. They're one of their saints is Adolf Hitler, because Skull and Bones, one of their patron saints, is Adolf Hitler. They even have a picture of him on the wall at Skull and Bones at Yale. And a lot of these secret organizations do worship people who do mass exterminations and mass slaughters, and they are determined to take over this country and to exterminate black people and all other minorities. They're very serious about this stuff, and we have to be very watchful, because I do believe that there is going to be a direct confrontation between our people and our friends and these people and their allies, and I think it's going to rip the country apart in the form of a civil war.
But, you know, I kind of looked at how Obama ran his campaign, and it's also, yes, these people are dangerous. Yes, they are gathering the horses. They're rallying the people. But at the same time, our people, which is this is where the power is, and I could be naive here, but we are awakening. And we are really coming in tune into our power here. And I looked at how Obama ran his campaign. And if he had ran it just normally, he wouldn't have got in. But it was the energy that was there. It was something else that was going on there in another atmosphere, another spiritual realm here. And how he gathered all of those people, that was energy. And so these groups here that wanted to stop him from getting in, and Hillary just knew she had it, that she knew about the feminine energy that's coming in, and she is the feminine, and she just knew she was going to get it. But Obama came at them with a whole different direction. He came with all of this energy and all of them masses of people. That was energy. They couldn't handle that. They couldn't touch it.
Right.
And that's what I'm feeling that's still going on. I mean, they can come. Yeah, they dangerous, but I just don't feel like they got the juice or the power.
Well, you never want to estimate your enemy, because you never know what they're capable of doing. So I hope you're right, and I hope they never do get their second win. But right now, the way I'm looking at it, I think that these people are workaholics, and they're dedicated to their cause. This is a religious thing. This is like a crusade to them. They don't even look at it as a political thing. They look at it as a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a revival type of thing for these people. And that's what the scariest part about this whole thing is, because they're devotees to a sacred cause, you know, and nothing will get in their way. And they give up their wives, their children, their families, their car, their credit card, whatever they got to do to get this thing up and running. So, this year they do look pretty weak and pretty flighty, but like I said, let's see what happens next year. Let's see what happens after the elections. I think after the elections in November we'll have a much clearer picture of where these people are going with this stuff.
And like someone in the chat room say, these people been here all the time. They just didn't pop up. I mean, this is a battle that's been going on all the time here, but now it's at a different level.
Right, and I talk about all the time, right on the point that you just said, Sister Bev, I talk about Nat Turner. You know, when the Nat Turner revolt happened in Virginia in 1831, you know, this country went straight fascist after that, and, you know, they imposed martial law all over the country. It wasn't just in Virginia and down south, and they started executing black people with impunity all over the place, you know, just killing black people just for being black. And it took years for the South to settle down after the Nat Turner revolt, because there's white people just so scared out of their minds. If you just mention the word Nat Turner, they go crazy and start killing black people. Even to this day, they have not made a major Hollywood production on Nat Turner because they're scared of the reaction that it'll
have. Right.
So you see the kind of psychology we're dealing with here. Very right-wing, very reactionary. And that gets us right back to the point originally we were talking about, which is what do we do for our people, for ourselves? And I want to dedicate the rest of my life to dealing with that issue and that problem. You know, how do we wrestle with this Willie Lynch piece and get that under control, get that beast back in that box, you know? And if we can manage to somehow pull ourselves together and look at each other in the eye honestly and put down the egos, then we can actually form up a nation. We can actually become a people that are recognized all over the planet for what we represent.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's going on. I had a guest on last week called his name is Robert X, and he talks about forming corporations. And that's what we're dealing with. You can't deal with a corporation on an individual level. It has to be another corporation can deal with the corporation. As I've heard that the United States is a corporation. And so we have to come together. Our people is getting this information. We are coming together. And so it's a battle that's going on here, but I just don't, you know, and like I say, I could be naive, but I just don't feel that they have the power to do what they want to do, because they would have been did it if they had it.
Right, right. And I do believe, too, I suggested this in our last conversation, that, you know, the melanin does play a very, very big part of this. And here we go with the metaphysics,
yeah,
that
yeah,
a lot of people don't recognize just how powerful we are as individuals in the collective, and how we make the collective strong. You know, in a nuclear reactor, it's the fuel rods that make the power, the nuclear power. And we, as individuals, are just like a fuel rod, each one of us. But collectively, we bind together to make that enormous, powerful energy that comes out of that thing. And we had the power of the sun in us. You know, like you said, we're called the sun people. We've been called the sun people for many generations. And that's not idle talk. That's based in real fact, because the melanin, I call it the spiritual computer inside every single black person,
mm-hmm,
where we actually do positive things despite ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on many occasions, you know, where we have come up the hero or the heroine, you know, and then later on we're sitting down trying to figure out, how do we pull that off? You know, how do we get around the obstacle? How do we get this done, you know? And like you said, in this country, in this planet, the way things are now, we should have been off the planet by now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still here because of a God force, because of a spiritual thing that goes on with us that protects us 24/7, even though we don't know it, or sometimes even don't want it. So we're so infected with the demonic, satanic thing sometimes that we don't even acknowledge the fact that we are a blessed people. And this melanin does do some miraculous things for us that are our worst intentions.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. Now, I'm going to open up the phone lines. Now, what is the name of your paper, and tell the people how they can get a copy of it?
Yeah, we run the Black Star newspaper out of Philadelphia, and the Black Star is named after Marcus Garvey's Black Ship line from the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the brief story there is that Marcus Garvey went over to Europe, and he saw the White Star line coming out of Glasgow, Scotland, where the Titanic and Queen Mary came out of, all the ships that sank. And he said, well, look, if they got a White Star line and they can put all these big white ships into the ocean and make money and make contact between Europe and America, why can't we do it too? But I'll call it the Black Star line instead of the White Star line. Well, that's how the Black Star line got started in 1921. And even though Marcus Garvey was banished from this country in 1924, and they sent him off to England, where he died in 1940, a broken-hearted man, because he did not see the fruition of his vision. Still, the Black Star Line is actually still in existence out of the country of Ghana, West Africa, and the national symbol in Ghana, West Africa, because of Kwame Nkrumah, is the Black Star. So we call ourselves the Black Star in honor of what Marcus Garvey was trying to do those generations ago, because he was about self. For our people, he was about race first. He was not a racist, and he was not trying to exclude white people from what he was involved with. He was just trying to build for black folks. That's all he wanted to do, is link the continents together for people of color. And fortunately, to this day, there are the disciples of Marcus Garvey all over this planet, and that's what we're dedicated to in this newspaper. And we've been around for 10 years now out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we have very solid support here. We do have some base in Atlanta, and we've been in Chicago and some other towns around the country before. I don't know why we haven't been in Detroit yet. I don't know what's going on with that piece, because Detroit is a very, very historic black town and a very historic black part of the country. But hopefully we can get it into Detroit at some point in time. But you can contact us here in Philly at 215-235-9079. That's our number. And you can also send materials to us at P.O. Box 1561, Philadelphia, PA 19105.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to open up the telephone lines here. Let's see, area code 111. Do you have a question, comment?
Peace. Good evening. I do have a question, actually. I've actually filled up with myself and I've read your magazine before. So I'm kind of familiar with it. I'm familiar with this. I wanted to ask you a question because you definitely, honestly, you kind of give the white man a lot of credit. Like, the European is a master manipulator. He's not really what we think he is. A lot of his stuff that he deals with is in illusions and in myths and in lies, in folklore. He deals with the media, programming and stars and stuff like that. So a lot of the stuff that he does is really just a joke. We as black people if we felt more attached to their system, that we could win and we supposed to win, we might take over, but when we kind of feel like we're not attached to the system, then we can never win. But because in my opinion, in America, like you said, it's all corporations. Like you got to deal with corporation, do a corporation. Only in America can you give it all you got and then go bankrupt. Then walk away from it. You're not going to go to jail if you go bankrupt. It may be immoral, but that's a program. That's a mental program to make you not want to reach for the clouds. So only in America can you go for the gusto and then file for bankruptcy, walk away, try it again, start another corporation. But if we was to have that type of mentality to go for it all, then I think a lot of us would be further off nobody's going to help us. In my opinion, that's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to help us. We got to help ourselves. The only way we need resources to start a war. So I think if we feel like we can take the system from within, then we probably can do something with it. That's my comment.
Well, I definitely believe you, brother. I think you're hitting on a lot of good points. And the most important thing you said, I think, is that nobody's going to help us but us. And that's one of my favorite slogans, is that we got to get real and understand that, these folks here that are running this country, that are running this planet right now, have nothing for us. They have no respect for us whatsoever. They're not going to do anything for us except what is absolutely necessary to do to keep their thing in place. Therefore, the only way we're going to make it at all, either in this country or on this planet, is to do for self. We've had so many ancestors that have come down the pike that told us this message, whether you're talking about Noble Drew Ali, Father Marcus Garvey, whether you're talking about Martin Delaney or Ida Wells, whether you're talking about Harriet Tubman. All these folks came to us and they said, don't deal with that devil. One of the reasons why David Walker, who's one of my heroes because he was a publisher. The reason why he got assassinated in 1829 in Boston was because he said in Walker's Appeal, which is still available to this day, he said, that white man is the devil. You didn't have to read Elijah Muhammad to find that out. You could have went 150 years before that to David Walker. He said the exact same thing 50 times in his paper. He said, the white man is the devil and don't go by. He said, do for yourself. And every other people on the face of this earth does exactly that. If you go to the Indian community, you go to the Arab community in Detroit, you see that these people always, they're self-centered. What does that mean? It doesn't mean they're selfish people. It means they take care of their own. They do their homework before they eat their dessert. And we have yet to learn that lesson. Once we learn that lesson, we're going to be okay.
Right. One thing that I've been trying to do, and I've been doing this a lot, and I've been really successful at it, is that if we were to look at the white man like he is, like a Slav, a white man is a Slav, a European, a Slavic descendant, he's the original slave. If we were to try to get money off of the Slav, like in the slave, we could be up. Like a lot of times when we try to get money off the conscious community, we all selling DVDs, we all selling oils, we all selling the same stuff. To the same few people that got the same little money, we're not really going to come up. But if we take, if we get money from outside the community and bring it into the community, we'd be a lot further.
Thank you, Colin.
Yes, sir. I heard your point.
Thank you again. All right, peace.
Peace.
Okay, area code 313-345. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. You talking to me?
Yes, we are.
I do have a comment. First of all, I would like to go back to what he's mentioning about diet and food.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 30 years ago, when you saw a proliferation of fast food restaurants, chicken, McDonald's, etc., they predicted then that within 25 years, you'd have a whole new patient population requiring renal treatment. And in Detroit and other black cities that I've been to, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Atlanta, you can hardly drive a mile in any black neighborhood that you don't find a kidney dialysis clinic.
Yeah.
And so another thing is, it seems that our ancestors are the ones who taught the European in this country to raise food. They knew nothing about rice. They came from the gullahs of West Africa, taught them. They had literally no agricultural skills. We are the ones that taught them how animal husbandry, even in this country, not going back to ancient history, taught them animal husbandry, horticulture, etc. At one time, to make the point, most of your, back to say 100 years or so, your jockeys and horse trainers were black folk.
Yes.
And so then what has happened through sharecropping and other exploitive methods, we have been systematically taught to hate the land. And from the everything that you have comes from the land.
That's right.
The air we breathe.
That's
so again,
right.
As I learned from Dr. Bed, it's the law of the opposites. The things that we should embrace, we turn our back to.
Well, that's because going back to the Willie Lynch syndrome,
yes,
where we have learned to turn away from our own natures and rely on some foreign element or some alien element to, I call it satanic element, to live by. And as a result, we're dying from it because, like you said, you know, I remember a time when nobody I knew black either died of cancer or was on a kidney machine. I mean, it's just unheard of when I was a child. But now you're seeing everybody seems to be dying of cancer or heart disease, and especially there's this proliferation of the kidney dialysis and also the diabetes, the insulin. And those two diseases in particular really seem to be taking both our young people and our old people out almost equally, and it's extremely dangerous development here because in addition to the AIDS and the STDs, here you have this proliferation of these, like you said, the dialysis clinics. And a lot of these are not-for-profit institutions that don't even have anything to do with the hospitals. They're private operations springing up like weeds all over the place, you know. And I know here in Philadelphia, we have dozens of these clinics being built all over the place, almost like the fast food restaurants or the churches or the bars.
Well, I agree with you. Now, you said I do believe that melanin is the most powerful asset that we have. That too has to be nourished through the sun in our diet. Lean, greasy vegetables, simply foods with color in them. Dr.
Right.
Ila Africa has written
yes.
two books, Medicide and Nutricide. I would commend
yes.
that to our people to read. Now,
yes,
secondly,
he's a friend of mine.
We have, and oh, great, he's out of still out of Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, we have to make some hard choices, and a lot of them, because we've been so conditioned and programmed that a lot of us won't even consider it. Now, again, these are not my original thoughts, but after hearing them from our ancestors and from some of our scholars today, is that religion is the deification of a culture. If that is true, then we have to get away from European and Asiatic religions.
Yes, and I think what's going on with the Catholic Church right now.
They're the manifestation of it.
Yes, I think what you're saying, brother, is on point, because if you're watching what's going on with the Vatican right now, this is a very key point, because now they're bringing all the demonology and the Satanism directly out of the Vatican. They're finally pointing the finger exactly where it needs to be pointed to as the source of a lot of our trouble, because the Catholic Church, you know, and I was brought up Catholic, so I don't have anything against these folks. It's just that we had to grab this bull by the horns and understand that the Vatican is the source of a lot of problems all over the planet. The Vatican and that Buckingham Palace are two of the major, and that White House, that's the triumvirate right there that is destroying a pretty big chunk of this planet, because all decisions that are made in any Western governments has to go through the Vatican first before they make any moves. Any wars, any peace treaties, anything that has anything to do with Western civilization must go through Rome and that Vatican first. And now they're starting to pick that thing apart into pieces. And there's a reason for that, because the rise of the world of color is directly tangential to the fall of the Vatican. And we are now seeing the Vatican starting to splinter come apart at the seams with this so-called pedophile scandal going straight to the Pope itself. And I think this is being done for a purpose. And the fact that the whole planet is in uproar right now in terms of earthquakes and tidal waves and storms of all sorts all over the place, that's no coincidence at the same time this other stuff is happening politically.
Well, agreed. Now, you have, as far as that, I have nothing against Catholics per se, because many of them don't know. But I do have a lot against the hierarchy of the Catholic Church.
Especially the Jesuits.
So certain things, I don't think that we should be afraid to speak out and condemn. And this is what's happening. Now, you've heard of North America, you've heard of North America and Europe, but you've yet to hear of South America, pedophilia. You've yet to hear of Africa. So what I'm saying is that certain things we should recognize and try to get away from, not only try, but in fact do. Now, you're talking about Barack Obama. Much of what you say is true. I think the man is a pure heart and wants to do. But you say this country would be in an uproar should unfortunately something happen to him. With his name, Barack Obama, that is not only a twofer. That's an international name. With a Muslim name, a man of color. There, I hate this. I shudder to think of what cataclysms would be set the world if something were to happen to him. That having said that. I agree with you, the Mossad, and I can't think of some of the other intelligence agencies around the world. They are completely amoral, sociopathic. They do not care. Their meat and butter is power upon more power. So when also, now coming back to the food piece, if you have an apartment with a pot on it in the north here, you can grow certain vegetables that will help you. If it's no more than, say, plant you tomatoes for the, I can't think of the name, for cancer. Plant you some parsley for the chlorophyll. You can grow wild wheat or wild grass in your kitchen and bean sprouts to get a certain nutrition. So a lot of things that we can do and should do, but we have to be aware of them in order to do that. And so when we look, at least in my humble opinion, when you see what is happening amongst us, it's all out in front of us. But we are so caught up in the materialistic aspects of the world. We've got to have this, we've got to have that. So many of us have more than we actually need. I'm talking about needs now, not wants or desires.
Mm-hmm.
To keep a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a pure heart. So there are certain things that we should speak out against, and we will embrace every religion on the world but that spiritual system that was developed in Africa called the Book of Coming Forth by Day and Night. And you will see the Pope coming up, if not today, on Good Friday. He will have his vestments on. Every symbol that he has on his vestments are African. The crook, the ankh, the cross.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, they stole the whole thing from Africa.
They did. So why don't we recognize that? And it's like a person said years ago, again, most of the things are not my thought, but by life experience, it makes true to me. If you have a spring that you can go to that has the purest water in the world that you can go drink from it and not cost you anything but going to it and drinking it, why would you want to go downstream 2 or 3 miles or whatever number of miles it might be when the chance of pollution is even greater?
Right.
So
it's like a good friend of mine.
There are so many things that we can do for ourselves, but we're so caught up in the system, we won't even take time to think about it.
Well, that's because we're caught up in this madness right here, in this.
That's why you have to
like
back away from
it. Elijah Muhammad called it the hells of North America, and I think that we have to be our toughest job right now. You know, I'm in the generation now. I came up with the baby boomers, and our generation's main task right now before we check out of here is to. Part of our legacy, the biggest part of our legacy, is to set an option, and create an option for the youth so that those generations underneath of us, so that they can have the wherewithal to be able to, you know, put their stamp down and be able to create the kind of nation state or the kind of culture that they need for their children and grandchildren to survive. This is what we are tasked to do at this point in time, because there is nothing left for us to do at this point.
I agree with your motives, and I applaud them. That one last thing, if I may. In order to do that, and melanin is a powerful instrument. We do things we don't know how we do them or what sort. But essentially, nothing starts without an idea. So in order to have the proper idea, certain mental and spiritual, namely the church and even Islam and other religions, we have to get out of them in order to do for self, because they are not ours. Somebody else designed and got and set up the Godhead for us to obey it, not us. But I appreciate your effort and your work, and I wish you much success. And it would be good if you did have an operation, and give your number out again so we can subscribe your paper and maybe read you online and so forth.
Right.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for that call. And Sister Beverly, your call is very intelligent. The last show I was very impressed, and this show I'm very impressed.
Oh, yes. I love my audience. They are right up on it.
That's great.
Okay,
that's great.
I'm going to area code 313-259.
Hello, how are you both?
Good.
Fine, how are
good.
You?
Greetings.
I'm fine, thank you. This is what I'd like to ask. One of the things is when Barack Obama won the presidency, the night of the election, he came out with a black and red tie on. His wife had on a black dress with red coming across the front, and one of the children had on a black dress, and one of the children had on a red dress. Do you know what that symbolizes?
Yes, it symbolizes the black nation.
It symbolizes a black nation?
Yes, but you know what I thought was even more telling about Barack Obama, and why I say this man does know something of what he's doing and
okay.
what he got.
He knows a lot
what
he's doing.
That's what, when I saw that, I thought that stood out so much. And I said,
mm-hmm.
okay, he knows what the 411 is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really believe. And when I look at him, he does not look worried at all.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very, whatever they have thrown at him, it's like he comes out in his facial expression, you can say, I'm coming out fighting. And he does not look defeated.
Fluffy.
Or you know how some people can look down and start talking the other direction as to which direction he was talking. He
right.
doesn't look like that. The other
right.
thing is during his election, you saw, I did, and I was quite surprised, in the very first announcement that he made he was going to run, nothing but Caucasoids. I mean, and when they fanned that camera, the look on their face, they really like this man. And I said, wow, you know, everywhere he went, that's the crowd that he was before. And so I said, something is, change is coming. And I know, I feel there's a lot of black people that are waking up. And I don't think it's going to take all black people to wake up. This spirit is moving.
Nope.
And it is a black spirit. It's a true black spirit, pure. And I don't care. All these crazies, they've been ignorant all their life, and they've been acting a fool all their life. They have the same pattern all of their life, hate, hate, hate. And you cannot live with all of that hate. So they're apparently is not as strong as it once was, because something, our black spirit is intervening in that. That's what I really feel and see.
And I agree with you, caller.
And
okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank
certainly
you.
Want to thank you again for that call. One of the things that I saw with Barack Obama that really did kind of surprise me, when he was inaugurated in Washington, D.C. in January of last year, he made an appeal. The very first thing that came out of his mouth, I was very, very careful to listen to every single word in his inaugural speech. The very first paragraph, he gave honor to his ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was extremely powerful, because only a person in the know would know how to do that. because he was appealing directly to a higher source at that point. And I said, boy, I said, this guy really must know something. He knows a whole lot more than what he's saying.
Oh,
he must know what he's getting into for him to say something like that.
Exactly. And like someone in the chat room said, he set up under his pastor, Jeremiah Wright. I mean, how long was he a member of that church? And so, you know, they were preaching consciousness and things along those orders.
Yes, and I do think that whole piece between him and Jeremiah Wright was very unfortunate because, after all, it was Jeremiah Wright's church and not Obama's church, and that church almost got torn apart because of that fracture that developed between Obama and him. And the Zionists, unfortunately, have a lot to do with that because Rahm Emanuel out of Chicago is his chief of staff, and Rahm Emanuel is somebody who's got to be watched very, very, very carefully because Rahm Emanuel's history is very interesting. His father was a gun runner, worked for terrorist organizations with the Mossad in Israel for many, many years. Rahm Emanuel himself has had history with the Mossad for many, many years. He's an inside man. So some of these people, like I said before, that Obama has unfortunately put around him are the ones with the daggers out. And if anybody's going to stick them in him, it's going to be these people who are immediately around him and not the people who are beyond that. And they're going to be controlled by international forces and not domestic forces because there are definitely agendas at play here that have nothing to do with anything that we're doing as black people here. But getting back to what the brother said before the sister called, he said twice about the melanin, and I'm really glad he did, because then he also mentioned Dr. Africa, who's a very good friend of mine. And part of my theories that I had developed around the melanin came from Dr. Africa. He's an expert on the whole melanin process, and he has developed over many, many, many years very solid theories about what the melanin is physically, physiologically, where it comes from, what it does for us. And I really want to thank Dr. Africa for help bringing me into that consciousness about it. But wherever I go, I always tell people, especially the young people, you know, don't ever take your blackness for granted. That blackness on you is a gift from the Creator, and it's a gift from the ancestors, and it actually does work like a computer, a spiritual computer in us, and it actually does help keep us, give us equilibrium, just like a gyroscope operates. This melanin that we have in us operates just like a gyroscope, and it keeps us on the even keel. No matter what happens to us, like the sister was just alluding to us, you know, we always somehow come up just like the cat comes down on all fours. We always wind up doing that, and, you know, the other folks from the other communities are always scratching their head trying to figure out, well, we beat them down, we robbed them, we lied to them, we did everything to them, and they still figured it out, and they still got it right. How did they manage to do this thing? And this has been going on for hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of years.
And that's my point. That is why I'm saying that these Republicans, Ku Klux Klans, whatever you want to call them, yes, I know they're dangerous, but they don't have what we have. And we, just like you say, they don't have the melanin. And part of the Pope, why you think he wearing all of our symbols? Because he wants us to take our energy away from us and look at him, which is falsehood, and say that he has that power. But once we look at, turn our energy on ourselves and look at ourselves, then that will give our energy the juice, the power. It's like turning on a car. Once we realize this power that we have and use it, I mean, there's nothing that they can do. They can't even do anything, and we don't even have the power we have. I mean, some of us get killed and things like that, but they can't just totally destroy us because we still have power and we don't even realize the power that we have. Once we realize what we have and use it, I mean, it's just awesome.
Yes, Sister Bev, I agree with that 100%. One of the things I like to tell people is that, you know, we do things despite ourselves, and we come up the hero or the heroine in almost every situation. And for instance, I was talking about Haiti last time, and we were talking about how, you know, they've done everything they could to demolish these people, just outright exterminate these people, and they actually took turns. The Germans, the French, the Spanish, the British, all these people, like, took turns whacking these people down in that itty bitty little island. and trying to stomp them out of resistance just because of one thing that they did. They got their independence, and they beat the biggest military force in the world at that time, which was Napoleon mm-hmm. Bonaparte's armies. And
right.
how this itty-bitty little race of people could defeat the biggest European army in the world at that time, these Europeans still haven't been able to figure it out. But they did figure out that these people was a threat to their interests because
mm-hmm.
of what they was able to do. So therefore, they organized a pact, a satanic pact among themselves to do away with these Haitians. And every time they go into Haiti and try to demolish it, these people come back stronger. And if there ever was a symbol of the melanin being able to outdo the evil in this planet, it's these Haitian folks. And I really tip my hat to all the Haitian people. Now, I have a lot of Haitian friends here in Philly. We have some Haitian brothers working with us on the newspaper, Real Tough. And I want to tip my hat to them, too. Ernest Ford is one of our top people here. He's Haitian. And they suffered a lot during this earthquake because they lost a lot of people down there in the island. But
mm-hmm.
these people are just breathtakingly strong. And they just don't understand the definition of no. And I really, really appreciate that.
And I'm going to open up another line here. Area code 313-273. Do you have a question or comment? Okay, they must be listening. What about 248? Do you have a question or comment? 248, area code? Okay. So, Henry D. Bernardo, give the people again some information where they can get in touch with you and your newspaper.
Yes, we do run the Black Star newspaper out of Philadelphia, and I'm glad that the first brother who called in actually said he was originally from Philly and he saw the newspaper. That really helps a lot, doing a show in Detroit. It shows that we do have some reach. The truth speaks wonders. And they can contact us here in Philly at 215-235-9079, or they can send materials. We're always looking for materials. We work a lot with the prisons here in Philly area because so many of our young people, we have some real geniuses. Most of our geniuses are now in jail, and that's part of the program too, the matrix, is to get rid of a lot of our people by locking them up, locking them away. And we have an outreach program that goes into the prisons. We have these papers in prisons all up and down the East Coast. And sometimes that's for the good or the bad, because when the prison authorities sometimes catch up to us and they see what we got in our paper, sometimes they like to punish the brothers. So we have to tell folks to be very, very careful when those papers are in some of those prisons. We've had problems here in Pennsylvania, and we had a problem down in South Carolina one time with a group of brothers that got punished just for having the paper. But you can write us at P.O. Box 1561, Philadelphia, PA 19105.
Greetings. This is Beverly. I'm sorry my phone was disconnected. If you can hear me, let me know in the chat room. And I don't know if my guest might have to call back in.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're still here? Okay.
Right.
Okay, my phone dropped. I'm sorry about that. Okay, what were you saying, Henry?
I was saying I wanted to thank all the folks around the country who do send a lot of materials to us. We take prose, we take poetry, we take feature stories, news stories. We try to cater to the African community that is not middle of the road. We're sort of like what you might call left of center, more like an African-centered consciousness. And we write strictly a Garveyite-type model. So if you can think of, if you know anything about Marcus Garvey, then that's where we're at in terms of our thought process. We're about do for self. We're not a racist paper. A lot of the Europeans that look at us, they say, oh, man, throw that stuff down because those people are racist. No, we're not trying to be racist. We're not trying to exclude other people. All we're trying to do is include ourselves, and we have to be so busy about that that it eats up all of our time. 99% of our time is eaten up just trying to deal with our own issues, because we're just consumed by so many issues that are flying in our face all the time, let alone the health, issue, the political issue, the economic issues, survival is not an easy thing in a country like this where we're literally in the belly of the beast.
Mm-hmm. But we have been in the belly of this beast so long, we have become experts of survival.
Yes, and a brother was telling me just the other day that, you know, a lot of the Africans, you know, that come over here to go to school or to get into business, a lot of them, you know, look at us and they say, wow, you know, these people are, they're beat down, they live in these ghettos, you know, they don't have no opportunities, and, you know, a lot of the foreigners come in here look at us through their nose, and they have very derogatory statements about us. Sometimes the East Indians or the Asians or the Latinos, and they'll say, well, these people are nothing. No wonder why the white man beats on them so much, because they don't have anything. But they need to understand that not only were we original to this continent, we were here before any of them was here, even before the so-called Native Americans, but we are the kernel of this whole entire civilization. We built it. There's nothing that they have that we didn't invent first, that they didn't steal. And we keep this thing going, and it's just a matter of time before we just let it go and drop it and just eventually do for itself. I'm in the short run, I'm pessimistic, Sister Bev, but in the long run, I'm optimistic, because I do believe that we are spiritual people. We're blessed people. You know, when people talk about their soul, you know, there's a lot of meaning in that. And we are a people. We cannot be removed. We cannot be exterminated as a group of people by any force, whether you're talking about Europeans or anybody else, because we are part of the earth. If you get rid of it, you have to get rid of the earth.
That's right. That's right. And that's why they try so hard. They want to be us, and they can't.
Right.
You know, they're very good at simulating, but they're
right.
very hard at creating. And that's what we are. We are creators because we are the creator.
Right, and I think it's so funny in a way that you see all these tanning booths, you know, as a big fad among the Europeans to jump in these little tanning booths and they catch cancer from it. And now they're warning the kids that you cannot, if you're under 18 years old, you can't even get in the booth anymore without a written permission from your parents because you're getting so sick with these cancers. But I find it very interesting that they put on these oils on the beaches, on their skin, and they get into these tanning booths because they're trying to get like us.
Right, and they're going further than that. I mean, they're taking the injections in the lips. They're getting their butts made bigger, you know. So they want to be, it used to be secretly that they wanted to be us. That was part of the secret society. That's why they stole all of our symbols and all of our information so they can get some of the power. But I do believe that because of the period that we're in, we are in the awakening time now.
Right.
This is the Aquarian age. And so
right.
I just believe that it's just a time. And part of that 2012, they keep talking about the end of the world. It's this end of how their thing was, their lives, because our people are awakening up. They are getting in touch with their power. They're connecting. That's what they're doing. I mean, look at on Blog Talk, it is so many shows on that is talking about this, and people are listening, and people are willing. They want this information. So I just believe, to me, this is a good time that we're in, even though it's a lot of chaos going on. I just feel like this is a good time.
Right. Well, it's sort of like an awakening time because we are, like you said in the original statement, our young people are starting. One of the good things that I do see, one of the things that gives me a lot of hope, is that I'm all over the country all the time, and I see a lot of young people really getting their act together. And despite the fact that you know, you read all the blood and guts in the newspaper and you turn on the TV and you see all this propaganda about the blood and guts among black people, despite that's only a tiny, tiny little portion of our community that's creating that chaos. 95% of our young people are good, strong, positive people that are forward-looking and they're openly mobile. And these folks are doing it to death. I mean, they are doing so many great things all over this country. And even in Africa and even in Europe, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of young black people that are doing some fantastic things and is very, very hopeful for the future because they're not going to be stopped by anybody that's going to say no to them, because these people are very ambitious. They have a right to be ambitious. Plus, they got it. They got it going on.
And I'm looking at the young people that's being born. I mean, they're coming in here at a higher vibration, at a higher level. These babies, these melanated babies are just coming in here, and I'm watching my grandchildren and other children, and they like genius. They're born genius.
Yes.
And so
yes.
You can't, you know, that's a force to be reckoned with. And that's why I'm saying this is a great time, because there's a lot of things that's going on positive, you know, even though we do have to deal with that chaos.
Right. I think what the oppressive force attempts to do is to wreck our consciousness or block it out or do whatever
yeah.
they can to hurt it, because they have all this massive propaganda on
mm-hmm.
the so-called mass media that's strictly negative against us. And they don't do this with any other communities, just us.
Right.
They
so
target
why is
this
that?
Negative vibe straight at the African-American community, because they know we're their biggest threat.
Exactly.
You know, we are the potentially fastest-growing community. Africa has shown over and over and over again that the African cities are the fastest-growing cities on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
African countries are the most, the richest, the most endowed countries on the planet. And in the Caribbean, too, I just talked about how they tried to wipe out the Haitians because they're trying to get to all the gold and all the oil in there.
Exactly.
So they're not going to stop their MO. They've been doing this for hundreds and maybe even
yep.
thousands of years, going all the way back before Julius Caesar, where they run around robbing people and looting and creating
mm-hmm.
all kind of pandemonium. But despite that, the planet, you can't stop the planet from going in its motion. You can't stop
mm-hmm.
the sun from going in its orbit, just like you can't stop us from moving forward.
Right. And I just feel, to me, I feel like we were like, you know how a cat kind of play with a mouse?
Yes.
And then when they just get tired, you know,
mm-hmm.
they either get rid of the mouse or they just go on about their business.
Right.
And I just feel like we the cat and we've just been playing with them. But now, you know, we're at the point now where we're tired of playing with them now.
That's right. We don't have any time anymore for the foolishness
mm-hmm.
because we're busy trying to build a new world.
Exactly.
And the vibration of the planet, like I said in the earlier show, is against them. Everything on this planet is against them. The animals
mm-hmm.
eating them up. The plants, you know, they're busy tearing down the rainforest.
Yeah.
The jungles all over the planet. And that's with a purpose, too, because they recognize that the plant life on this planet operates in tandem with us. We are part and parcel to it. Just
yeah.
like the sun. And all of these different natural things are moving against them in tandem, in unison. So
mm-hmm.
we have nothing ahead of us but the future to look forward to.
That's right. Now we're down to our last 2 minutes. Give the people your information again.
Again, we're in Philadelphia at the Black Star News. Well, first you can call us for any kind of information at 215-235-9079. In Philly, or you can write to us at the Black Star newspaper or send materials in. We're always looking for new materials or new ideas, and that's P.O. Box 1561, Philly, P.A., Philadelphia, P.A., 19105, and we'll be quick to get to you right away. Hopefully, at some point in the near future, we'll be able to actually come into Detroit and set up a lecture series, do some classes or whatever, because I've been around to all them towns up there. I've been to Chicago half a dozen times. I've been to St. Louis
mm-hmm.
about half a dozen times, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Cleveland even, but I've never been to Detroit. And that's Brother Kundalini was saying, and scratching his head, he said, "You've never been to Motown." I said, "Brother, I don't
wow.
know how that happened, but we got to correct that."
Yeah, and I have a person that's in the audience that's listening, Ottawa, and that's what she do. She books lectures and people to come in town. So she hears you. I'm quite sure she will get in touch with you and have you to come into the city.
Okay, that'd be great. And hopefully we'll
okay.
be able to look forward to another show. And I really want to
oh,
thank
definitely.
You for bringing on these last two shows. They're very educational. I really love your audience.
Oh yes, they're right on top of it. So thank you, Henry D. Bernardo, for joining us, and we appreciate you.
And thank you. We appreciate you too.
Okay.
Peace.
Thank you. Peace. And I want to thank you again for listening to the Truth to Power show. And I will be on again next Sunday at 7:30 with another informative guest. It's all about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you again for joining us.